is now with the believer to make the devil something or nothing. What you call him is what will be to you. Satan is a zero. Spiritually, he's defeated. He's nothing. The only time he can something is when you make him something. The devil has no power to have no power over the believer. He has no right to afflict the believer. Unless you open the door for him.
Still merciful for my attention.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, even as your word is coming with great power and might. We pray that you help us to open our hearts to receive your word. Let your word fall as a seed, and let this seed grow and bear fruit that will abide, and fruit that will glorify your name. We give you praise, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. This morning, I want to talk on what I've titled Zeros Pretending to Be Heroes. Zeros Pretending to Be Heroes. You know, zero pretending to be hero. Now, in this world, we have the phenomenon of even people who pretend to be what they are not. People who are no longer powerful, but pretend they are powerful. People who are no longer in authority, but still want to call the shots and pretend they are in authority. That is a phenomenon in the world. I heard a story I read a story of, you know, somebody in the United States when slave trade was abolished, and the person was in a plantation somewhere, and he was one of the slaves who were there. They had a taskmaster, a slave master, who was bullying them with a gun. Now the master had heard that slave trade had been abolished, but the slaves had not heard, because they didn't have access to radio or any form of anything that will give them information. So the master had heard that slavery had been abolished, but the slaves had not heard. And so even though it had been abolished, he still kept them under the gun. They were still at his beck and call. He still ordered them about with a gun. Until one day, one of them discovered that slavery had been abolished. And so the master came trying to order them about as usual. And the guy protested and said, but I've heard that slavery had been abolished. And the master said, yes, it's true, but don't tell the rest. So now you and I will rule over the rest. So this slave master was no longer in power. Legally, you could not keep slaves. Legally, nobody was supposed to be at his beck and call. Legally, he couldn't order people about with a gun. But in reality, he was doing that because the people didn't know. They had not heard of the edict that slavery was no more legal. That is how it happens in our work with God. Satan is somebody that we must know. We must know his status, his current status in the scheme of things, so that we'll know how to relate with him. There are a lot of believers who have put the devil at a place where they ought not to put him. And because of that, the devil has found the right to afflict them and to order them about, even though they are Christians. I had two dreams some time ago, and these two dreams convinced me beyond any shadow of doubt that there is no power in hell that has authority or power over my life. that there is no power in hell. And I didn't need to have a dream to understand that. It is already written in the Bible. But God used those two dreams to bring what the Bible had already said to light so that I could understand. In the first dream, I saw a snake. And the snake was a very powerful, big snake. And the snake was lying somewhere. And when I saw the snake, I paused and I didn't want to move further. But then somebody behind me said, "Step on the snake." So I hesitated and the person sort of pushed me and I stepped on the snake. When I stepped on the snake, it was like a balloon that had been deflated. The snake began to shrink. It shrank till it became something like a termite. Have you seen those insects with a red tip on their bottom? Yes. The snake shrank till it became a termite. Then I said, so all this while I was afraid to step on this snake, not knowing that this snake was actually a termite, but had been blown out of proportion. So I thought it was a snake. The second dream was, I was in a church and the pastor was standing there and somebody got up and he went to the pulpit, took the microphone from the pastor and began to talk. And the way he was talking as if he had power to kill everybody in the room. And everybody in the room was afraid because the guy was huge and he was talking with so much confidence that even the pastor was afraid. And he even used the Bible to hit the pastor on the head and said, "Even you, I don't fear you." And so the guy was somebody who looked so fearsome, you know. But then somebody was sitting behind me in the dream and the person said, "Get up and rebuke him." And again, I was afraid to do that. And the person said, "I say, get up and rebuke him." So I got up and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." I gathered all the courage I had in the dream. And when I rebuked the person became like an insect, a flying insect. He just shrank. Became like, and it was just flying about. Then we caught that thing. When I woke up from the dream, the Lord spoke to me and said, "From today, never be afraid of any power, be it occultic power, be it fetish power, be it any power, marine power, never be afraid of any power. Because these powers are zeros who only pretend to be heroes. They only pretend they are heroes, but in actual fact, they are zeros. And so we are going to look at the devil. In fact, the devil is not the only hero pretend to be a zero. Sickness is a hero, is a zero pretend to be a hero. Sin is a zero pretending to be a hero. But I'm talking about the devil, who is the main number one zero, who has pretended to be the number one zero, even in the lives of believers. Now, in this life, you can divide this life into two blocks. BC, that is before the cross, and then AC, that is after the cross. So, before the cross, we must know what pertained. And then after Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, we must also know what pertained. What took place on the cross of Christ, what took place on the cross, it's something that changed the destiny, the story, the history of mankind and the earth forever. It was something so fundamental that everything about the earth, about man, everything changed. So the cross was what we call an epoch-making event. It was an event that took place that brought a sharp distinction between the time that persisted before the cross and the time that came after the cross. And one significant thing that took place was the change in status of the devil. We must know the status of the devil before the cross and his status after the cross. A lot of believers confuse the status of the devil before the cross and after the cross. So some people base on certain Old Testament scriptures, and then they think that is what Satan is. I was listening to somebody who came from the occult world, and the person began to take me through the various hierarchy, the various spirits, and how powerful they are, and the various levels, and what they can do, and all that. And I sat and was listening to him. Now, when he finished, I said, is it not wonderful that God has cut everything short for us? That their master himself was defeated. So, if your master is defeated, that means that you have also been what? Defeated. And so, the summary of all that is that their master was defeated. Therefore, they don't have any power against any believer. Hallelujah. Now, before the cross, the devil was called a strong man. Before the cross, he was called a strong man. He was a strong man who protected his stronghold. Before the cross, Satan was a strong man, and he had goods in his stronghold, and he kept his stronghold. He protected his stronghold. When you read Isaiah 14, verse 17, and from verse 12, he's talking about Lucifer and how he fell from heaven. Then he got to verse 17, he said, okay, from verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed his cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Now, it describes Satan as a man who has a prison house, and he has people, he has prisoners in the house, and he doesn't open the door of the prisoners, open the house of his prisoners, meaning that he keeps his stronghold, he protects his stronghold. So the devil was a strong man. Even when Jesus Christ came, Jesus referred to the devil as a strong man. He said, no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he binds the strong man. And then he said that the strong man, for as long as he keeps his palace, all his goods are intact, till a stronger than him will come and overpower him, and then will take from him the armor in which he trusted. So Jesus acknowledged when he came on earth, he said the devil was a strong man. But that was before the cross. Hallelujah. I said that was before the cross. Come to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 21, what I just said, what I just quoted. He said, when a strong man fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. You see, so Satan was a strong man in the Old Testament before the cross. He was a strong man. You see, when I say the Old Testament, I mean before the cross, he was a strong man. Now, before the cross, his most trusted weapon was death. He said, the weapon in which he trusts most, he said, he takes from him his armor, all his armor in which he trusted. Satan had a weapon that he trusted most before the cross, and that weapon was death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says something. In Hebrews 2:14, the Bible says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise said in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Him who had the power of death. Satan had the power of death before the cross. And then he said, that is the devil. That is the devil. And released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So before the cross, the devil was a strong man, and before the cross, his most trusted weapon was death. Before the cross, he was in charge of the world, and he could use evil and the systems of the world to afflict people at will. Before the cross, he could use evil and he could use the systems of the world to afflict people at will, because he was a strong man. That was before the cross. So when you come to Luke chapter 4, when the devil met Jesus in a temptation, in Luke 4, verse 5, Satan says something. He said, "The devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.'" Now, what Satan said, was it true? Was it true or was it not true? It was true. Now, if what he said was not true, if he lied, Jesus would have pointed out to him that what you said was not true. It was true, because the authority of the kingdoms of this world was given to him by Adam. In fact, he took it from Adam. Adam had the authority to appoint the world that will rule on the earth. The earth is different from the world. The earth is neutral. But there's a world that must rule on the earth. The world rules on the earth. The world is a system of government, a spiritual force that must rule on the earth. And Adam was the one who had the power to vote which world will rule over the earth. The word earth means terra, and it means land. So this earth was there, and Adam voted for the government of the devil rule over the earth. And so Satan established his world over this earth. That's why we have the world of darkness, the world of the devil. That's why he is the prince of this world, the prince of the world that is now ruling the earth. Not the prince of the people in the world or the physical world, but of the world that Adam allowed him to establish. So he said, "Look, the kingdoms of this world, all the kingdoms, they are mine, and I give it to whoever I want. So if you bow down before me, I will give it to you." And Jesus Christ said, "I will not do that." He didn't say, "You are lying. The kingdom belongs to God." No. He understood that it was true, that it was for the devil. But that was in the Old Testament. Sorry, that was before the cross. When I say Old Testament, people sometimes go to Genesis to Malachi. No. I'm talking about before the cross. Anything that happened before the cross is the Old Testament. The New Testament is after the cross, after Jesus Christ came to die. And so we need to know, so that we don't confuse the two. When Jesus Christ came, and Satan told him that he understood that it was true, but he also knew that that was before the cross. Now, I have not died yet. When I die and I rise again from the dead, then your status will change. Then you will no longer be the strong man, no longer be the one who is in charge, no longer be the one who can afflict people with evil at will. Now, certain people will be in charge, and they can keep you at bay. Hallelujah. Before the cross, the people of God were not allowed to deal with him directly. They couldn't deal with Satan directly before the cross. So throughout the Old Testament, you will see that there was nothing like casting out of devils. They couldn't cast out demons, but they didn't have the right to deal with Satan directly in the Old Testament, because he was directly in charge of the world system, and he was exercising his authority, the authority that Adam gave him. That was before the cross. But after the cross, that one changed. After the cross, it changed. Now, before the cross, all those who were of God, God protected them against the devil. But they were not allowed to engage the devil in combat. That is why, even when evil happened to them, they attributed the evil to God. In the Old Testament, anytime evil happened to people, they say God. Satan was not, they weren't allowed to engage Satan, so they couldn't rebuke him because he had a legal right to operate. Because Adam gave him the right. So when Job's children were killed, Job said, "It is God." He said, "Have I received good from God? And now I receive evil from God." He said it was God. Because Satan was not in the picture. I mean, he was not really, because they weren't allowed to engage. When Sarah couldn't give birth, Sarah said, "God has helped me from giving birth." Everything happened to them. They said it was God. He said, "An evil spirit from God tormented Saul." Everything was from God. Because they weren't allowed to deal with the devil directly. But we will see as we go along, the picture changed on the cross. Now, in terms of status, because of what happened to Adam, Adam came under the devil. Because the Bible said that whoever you obey, you become a slave. So, by reason of the fact that he obeyed the devil, he had become a servant of the devil. And because of that, mankind could not engage the devil in combat. Because the Bible says, obey your parents. So, if you are a child of the devil, dare not raise your hand against the devil. Hallelujah. Now, why did Jesus come? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't say those who were lost. He said that which was lost. What was lost was what Adam lost in the garden, the glory that Adam lost in the garden. He said, "All have sinned and we fall short of the glory." Adam lost the glory, and the glory contained the dominion. He lost it, and the devil took it and took out the authority that man had over the earth. And Satan used man's authority. The authority Satan was using on earth was man's authority, not angelic authority, man's authority, Adam's authority, Adam's right, Adam's dominion. That's what he's using on this earth. And so Jesus Christ came to take back that which was lost from the devil, so that man again can be in charge one more time. That is why Jesus Christ came. And then he also came to deal with all the weapons of the enemy. Anything that came as a result of the fall of man, he came to deal with it. He came to deal with death. Deal with sin, deal with sickness, deal with evil, deal with the world. Everything that came because man fell, he came to deal with it. He came to restore man back to a position where man could have authority and give the authority that man lost to Satan back to man. And that is why Jesus Christ came as a man. He came as a man because it was man who gave the authority. It's only man that can take it back. So he has to come as a man so that it will be legal for him to get the devil because you took it from me. But he came as the second man. He came as a man, but he came as a man without sin. He came as a man, but he came as a man full of the Spirit. He came as a man, but he came as a man in righteous standing with God. He came as a man, but he came as a man who had God on the inside. And then he wrestled back the authority that the devil, Adam gave the devil, back. And then he gave it back to man.
So Jesus Christ went to the cross. Now let's see what happened when he went to the cross and what happened to Satan when Jesus went to the cross. And then you will see that Satan's status has changed now. Therefore, we don't need to accord him the respect that they accorded him in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, they don't give him any place at all. When you look at today's Christians, it's like we've given the devil a lot of place. We give so much attention because we don't know his status has changed. And so, we think that the devil is so powerful against the believer. We think he can just afflict the believer as well. But that is contrary to what the Bible says. Let's go to John 12, 31. John 12. What is happening here? John 12, 1. It says, this was Jesus when he was about to go to the cross. In fact, when you study the book of John from chapter 12 to chapter 17, all was during the Last Supper. So right from 17, Judas came in 18 to capture him. So he started all this when he was going to go to the cross. And he said, verse 31, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the ruler of this world being cast out. Now, he said, when he goes to the cross, the time that we're saying now was when he was about to go to the cross. He said, it is now time for the prince of this world to be judged. And when I go to cast out, I'll come to John 16. John 16, verse 11. John 16, 11. Let me read verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world is judged. Now, the devil was the ruler of the world. Listen, he was the ruler of the world. The ruler of the world. In the New Testament, he is not the ruler of the world. He is only the God of the world. Before the cross, he was the ruler of the world, the prince of this world. He was the one who was in charge of the world system, using evil to afflict people at will. But Jesus Christ said that, he said, when I go to the cross, the ruler of the world will now be cast out and he will be judged. So in the New Testament, he's only referred to as the God of the world, the God of this world. What does that mean? That means that people in this world choose to worship him. So now he has become the God of all those who are in the world. We believers are not in the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. But unbelievers are of the world, and so they worship him. Anybody who's not born again is under the worship of the devil. He's the God of this world. But he's not the ruler of the world again. The world system. He's not the one who has dominion over the earth again. His kingdom, Adam voted into power, came to an end when Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam and voted another kingdom into power. Hallelujah. So, on the cross, while he hung on the cross, the prince of this world was being cast out. Let's see what happened. Come to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. Revelation 12, 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, look at something. This is what happened when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. The devil was cast out from the heavens. When Satan attempted to go to heaven to dethrone God, he was cast down. He was down. The rebellion started on earth. He said, I will ascend to heaven. When he was going, he was not allowed to go to God's heaven. There's no war in God's heaven. So there was nothing like Satan entered where God is seated. What are you going? Take God from on the throne and God fought him. No. He never got there. But he was stopped. And he was cast down. But the devil occupied the heavens, the second heavens and the atmospheric heavens. Satan and his host of demons, host of angels, occupied that place. So before the cross, they were occupying that place. That was why Daniel could pray before the cross and then his prayers could be detained. His prayers could be held up for 21 days by an angel, a satanic angel in the heavens. But in the New Testament, nobody is there to hold your prayer when you pray. In the New Testament, no believer's prayers will be detained in heaven, in the heavens. Because now the status has changed. When he went to the cross, that prince of the world was cast out. And their place was no longer found in heaven. Not God's heaven. In the second heavens, in that God, Jesus Christ had cast them out. So the Bible says Jesus Christ passed through the heavens. So now, the way through the heavens is clear. Now the devil is not the one dominating the heavens again. Now he's confined to hell. So his status has changed. But the sad thing is that many believers don't know. And so some believers even believe that Satan can catch their prayers. That when they pray, Satan can catch their prayers and prevent their prayer from going to God. So that they say, that's why you have to pray and fast. Because you know, Daniel's prayer was held up. Daniel was before the cross. We are after the cross. And the situation is different from before the cross and after the cross. It's different. So no demon can catch your prayers. When you start praying, you see, you are linked directly to heaven. It's a direct link. It's a direct link. You are linked to heaven directly. So no satanic being can go up there and catch your prayers and hold up your prayers. So after the cross, Satan has been dethroned. He has been cast down. He has been cast out. He has been judged and dethroned. So he is no longer a prince. He's no longer a ruler. So in the New Testament, they don't call him the prince of this world. They don't call him the ruler of this world. He's only the God of the world. The God of this world. People have chosen to worship him. Now, people worship him. And they have made him their God. But he is not the ruler of the world anymore. So Jesus Christ took that authority. Let's see what he did to Satan. Let's see what he did to Satan. Now come to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. We have to appreciate these things. Otherwise,
will make God sad. And it's like he wasted his time for nothing. Wasted his blood. 1 Corinthians 2 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are matured, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Who are coming to nothing. He said they are coming to nothing. Coming to nothing means they are nothing. What happened is that when Jesus Christ died, when he rose from the dead, he could have banished all the demons to hell. He could have destroyed all the demons. Because legally, he has secured what it takes to destroy all the demons, to banish all of them to hell. But he didn't do that. He still allowed them to be in this world, in the system. And he left the other job for the church to do. That now, I've dealt with them. So, just make sure they don't come close. He said, now, I finished the job. Just make sure that you keep letting them remain there. Now, I've struck him. I've dealt with the head. I've cut off the head of the serpent. Just make sure that the body that is just wriggling, the body and the tail that is wriggling, make sure that you keep it in check. That is the duty of the church. So he said, it's a matter of time. After some time, you will see that no matter how high, not how tall the kingdom of darkness rises, it can never overturn, never prevail against the church. Because it has been rendered zero. So Satan is a zero. Spiritually, he's defeated. He's nothing. The only time he can something is when you make him something. Power is now with the believer to make the devil something or nothing. What you call him is what he will be to you. If you say, but somehow thing, don't be a thing amount. Because now power is new. So Jesus Christ spoiled the devil. He destroyed him. He destroyed him. He destroyed the devil. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, he said, he destroyed him. Look at the words the Bible uses when it comes to the devil. Hebrews 2:14. It says, okay, inasmuch then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So he destroyed him. To destroy means to permanently damage. So Satan is permanently damaged. All that he needs to do about Satan, he has done already. There is not a thing that Jesus will do about Satan again. He has finished with him. He has reduced him to zero. Permanent damage. He had the power of death. When Jesus Christ tasted death, death died. Death died. The destroyer was destroyed. You know who has the power of death now? Jesus. He said, I hold in my hand the keys of death and of hell. Jesus has the power, has the keys of death and of hell now. The power of death is with Jesus. Revelation 1:18. Not with Satan anymore. So the key to his own house was taken away from him. The key to hell was taken away from the devil. He destroyed him. The authority, keys represent authority. So the authority to open and shut hell, open and shut death is Jesus. And he gave it to the church. That is why I'm saying that for a believer, it's either you, the believer, you open the door for death. The devil has no power, should have no power over the believer. He has no right to afflict the believer. Unless you open the door for him. Number two, Jesus disarmed the devil. He stripped him of his armor. Colossians 2:15. Look at the words the Bible uses for the devil be after the cross. Colossians 2:15. He says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them. Meaning that he made a public show. Every demon, every spirit in this world saw it. It was not a private defeat. It was a public defeat. That is why the devil cannot argue. It was public. He stripped me of his armor. So where is Satan's armor? Death was his most trusted weapon, and Jesus took it from him. He took that from the devil. So where is the power of the devil against the believer? He has no power against the believer. He only pretends to have power. He has no power against the believer. He says zero, pretending to be a hero. Now, he said, when he disarmed him, to be disarmed means to be denied of your weapon. You meet people with arms, armed robbers. Then you take their weapons from them. They become ordinary people. Some of the armed robbers are as young as 17, 18. People that you can even beat. But because of the gun, you become like a child before them. Now when they are disarmed, they become ordinary. They become weak people just like you. So the devil has been disarmed. The devil is ordinary now. He needs no attention. The only way the devil becomes powerful is when the believer gives him attention. That's the only way he becomes powerful. When the believer gives him attention, he gets powerful. Because you have authority to make him or make him. And if you choose to make him, he'll be made. Number three, Jesus Christ took back all the authority that Adam relinquished to the devil. Jesus took it back. When he took it back, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So where is Satan's authority? All means all. He said, all authority. So why do you say Satan has authority over the believer? He doesn't. Because all was given to Jesus. And Jesus turned and gave it all to the church. He said, so therefore go and make disciples. Why? Because the prince of this world has been judged, has been cast out. Listen, Jesus Christ, even when he was on this earth, while Jesus was on earth, Satan was still the prince of this world. There was a temporary interruption. And when Jesus Christ came, because Jesus came with an agenda, he came to destroy us with the devil. But Satan was still reigning the world. So Jesus went to the cross. That is why, despite all the miracles that Jesus performed, people didn't believe in him. Despite raising Lazarus from the dead, walking on water, many people didn't believe in Jesus. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross and disarmed principalities and powers and stripped them of their weapon and defeated Satan, just one sermon Peter preached, 3,000 people believed. The same Jerusalem, the same place, look at what it changed. The same place, he raised the dead and he didn't get even 120 people to follow him. Even 120 people didn't follow him. I mean, more than 120 people didn't follow him. He raised the dead. But the same place, just after some few days, Peter healed a cripple and preached, and 3,000 responded. Why? Because the prince of the power of the air was judged. He was cast out. So his hold on the people was broken. And he didn't have a hold on the people again. When Peter was preaching, no demon was able to hold the people from responding to God. All authority has been given to the church. So Satan has no authority anymore. That is why we have the right to cast out demons. We have the right to cast out because demons are trespassers. Anytime a demon lives in a body, he's a squatter living there illegally. And if you know your right and you tell the demon to get out, he knows he must get out because it is an illegal possession. He has no right. He has no right. And the thing was not private. It was public. It was a communique signed by both parties that this Jesus has whipped the devil right in his backyard and has destroyed him. And so anytime you hold the communique and say, look, I represent Jesus, Satan must bow. That is why we say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's not just a phrase. It means I represent Jesus. So if you represent him, the devil must bow to him, bow to you. Because of the communique, because of the written agreement, what is written. It is written in agreement that this Jesus has conquered Satan. It was a public show. Everybody saw it. There's no way he can argue. That is why the Bible says, when Satan comes to you, resist him. He never said negotiate. He said resist him. Because he's illegal. He's an illegality operating on this earth. Resist him. That's the language. Hallelujah. So now, authority has been restored to the Son of Man. Authority has been restored to the Son of Man. So, after the cross, they don't talk about the power of Satan anymore. Check the epistle. You will not hear about the fact that Satan is powerful. No. Talk about the wiles. The wiles. The Bible didn't say we should fight against the devil. He said we should put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand, stand against the wiles of the enemy. The wiles doesn't mean the weapons. The wiles means the tricks, the strategies, the schemes. In fact, the Greek word actually translates schemes. Schema, the schemes of the devil. He's so crafty and so smart that even though he has no power against you, you have thought he can get you to use your authority against yourself. And that is what Satan does when he comes to the believer. He doesn't come to attack you. He comes to get you to use your authority against yourself. Because you have authority he doesn't have. Whatever you say is established. So he will get you to say something against yourself. Then you will give him the authority to afflict you. We have authority. We have authority to either bring evil or to bring good. We can bring evil and we can bring good. That's why I said, whosoever sin you retain is retained. Whoever sin you remit is remitted. We can bring good. We can also bring evil. We can release a curse. We can release a blessing. When a believer curses somebody, it is not God who does it. It's not God. It's the devil. If a pastor says, I've cursed you, and then what he says comes to you, it's not God who brought it to you. It's the devil. Because the devil, no, we have authority. And the devil will get you to use the authority against yourself, against someone. That he will enforce, you will give him the peace. Do that. So now, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has done all that he needs to do about Satan. Everything he needs to do about Satan, he has done. So it is unscriptural for the believer to pray to God about Satan. God doesn't answer such prayers. Father, bind the devil in the name of Jesus. It's unscriptural. He's not going to bind him till he comes to bind him for 1,000 years. But he has weakened him permanently. He has destroyed him. See, it is head to head, body to body. Jesus is the head. And he said he will crush the head of the serpent. So the head crushed the head of the serpent. When the serpent's head is crushed, what is left? The body is not anything. But the body can be shaking and wriggling like this. So head to head, body to body, we are dealing with the body, not the head. The head has been crushed. Our duty is to make sure that the shaking of the body stops. Somebody said, even the body. He said, even the body. I was saying this thing. He said, hey, so even the body, look how you are suffering. Even the body. But the head has been crushed. But if you don't know, he will deceive you and he will make you think that he still have power. So now, everything is in the hands of the church now. So in the New Testament, when it comes to Satan and the believer, only one word is used, resist. Resist. That's the only thing, resist. If you don't resist, God cannot do anything about it. So we have more responsibility than the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, it was God himself who protected them against the devil. Because the devil was still the ruler of the world, and the people didn't have what it took to stand face to face with the devil. So they were protected from him and weren't allowed to engage him. But in the New Testament, the devil has been knocked down permanently. And the believer has been given authority. So we have been given the right to engage him. So it's either you allow him to run around or you stop him. And God cannot do anything about it. Don't. There was one man of God who had a vision. Can I take it? And in the vision, he was talking to Jesus. And Jesus was speaking to him, seeing him certain things. Then he saw this demon who came between him and Jesus. And in the vision, the demon was emitting some smoke. And so the smoke became like a cloud and prevented him from seeing Jesus. And the demon was also making noise, so he couldn't hear Jesus well. And he began to get frustrated. And Jesus kept on talking. But he couldn't see him well, couldn't hear him well. And he became frustrated. And he was thinking that, isn't Jesus seeing the demon? Why is he not doing anything about the demon? Then he said, out of frustration, he just said, now in the name of Jesus, I command you, stop that. Then the demon went down, got up, ran away. And Jesus said, if you had not done it, I couldn't have. Then the man said, no, wait. Do you mean you wouldn't have? He said, no, I wouldn't have. Because I have given all the authority to the church. That you are my body now. Represent me. Occupy it like I am. So if you allow the devil to run around, it is your responsibility as a church. And Jesus Christ began to take him through scriptures to tell him that, look, in the New Testament right now, it is you who must do something about the devil. In Luke 10:19, before Jesus even went to the cross, look at what he said to the disciples. Luke 10:19. He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, I give you authority to trample snakes and scorpions. They belong to the department of the kingdom of darkness, who come when we are unaware, who come in our weak moments, who come when we have lost our guard. They don't come They don't come with a frontal attack so that you can see them. They are beneath. They are beneath. Scorpions are very dangerous reptiles. You may not see them, but they are there. Recently, I nearly stepped on one scorpion. I was making a call, and somebody said, "Hey, look at a scorpion." Incidentally, that very morning, I had a vision where I had crushed a scorpion like that. And I just saw it, and then I asked the person, because I was still on the phone. Now, if I didn't see, and I stepped on it, it will use the tail to sting. And Jesus Christ said, "I give you authority to trample." Trample means to walk, to tread, to crush. Snakes and scorpions. The devil is a serpent. Scorpion is death. Scorpion stands for death because death stinks. You say, "Where is your stink, O death?" And scorpion stinks. So the devil uses death. I said, "I give you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy." All the powers. The occultic powers, the fetish powers, every power. Today, there are some believers, if they get up and they see certain occultic things in front of their house, they must call their pastor. Or they must go for special anointing oil. Or go for special direction. But he said, "I've given you authority over all the powers of the enemy." All means all. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing. Nothing. He didn't say nothing will pain you. He said nothing will hurt you. Even if it pains you, it won't hurt you. He said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." It won't do you hurt. It cannot do you hurt. Evil has no power over the believer. Let us put the devil where he belongs. In Ephesians 4:27. It says, "Nor give place to the devil." King James says, "Neither give place to the devil." Other version says, "Don't give the devil a foothold." Meaning that you must stop him. Stop him. Don't give him a foothold. Otherwise, you will get a stronghold. Because Satan is like, if you give him an inch, he will take a meter. So when you see that he is rearing his head, shut him up. Silence him. Sometimes we allow the devil too much room in our lives. When you see those negative thoughts coming, take control and tell him to shut up. If you don't do that, the thoughts will get to a point where it will overpower you. You can't even think straight anymore. The devil always comes with thoughts. And sometimes he speaks to us in the first person. So you think you are talking to yourself. You are not speaking to yourself. It's the devil speaking to you. Maybe you are thinking how miserable you are. How pathetic you are. How your life is going down the drain. How you have been wasted. How your life is like this. How this sickness is going to kill you. How this or that. It's the devil. It's not your mind. It's Satan shooting fiery darts into your mind. Fiery darts. They are like arrows on fire. When they get into your mind, they continue to burn. If you don't stop it at that instant, it will continue to burn and burn till it gets into your heart. When it gets into your heart, the devil now has you. When it gets your heart, that's all. Now you can't think straight anymore. That is when he deceives people. So he said, "Neither give place, don't give an inch, don't give room for the devil. Don't give him a place. Don't give him a chance. Don't. People sometimes say, "Oh, you are over spiritualizing things." It is better to spiritualize things than to canalize things. Sometimes we say, "I don't want to spiritualize." Listen, this world is a spiritual world. It is better to spiritualize things than to canalize everything. You have a dream, deal with it. Pray and rebuke the devil. Don't stay there and say, oh, this is just a dream. It's not just a dream. It's the devil's message. The devil's EMS, you must either sign or reject. When you sign for it, it comes to you. It's a package. James 4:7. Where is Brother James? Yeah. He said, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He said, resist him. You see, if you don't resist him, he will not flee from you. The devil is like a dog who is following you. And you're like, hey, go home. Then you go. It'll follow you again. Hey, go home. It's full. So you take a stick. And you prove to the dog that you mean business. Otherwise, it will keep on following you. Till you get to a place where you say, I'm tired of this nonsense. What are you trying? Look, you stop it. When he sees that you mean business, he starts shivering. But when you are saying, hey, go, and you are even laughing, you are even smiling. I don't want that. You two sit and stop that. You are not serious. Like the lady who was saying, sit and go away. He said, sit and go away. The pastor said, Satan, go away. He said, sit and go away. Sit and go away. You are not serious. He won't go. You need to, Satan, go away. Mean it from your being. And he will not come again. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. Resist means stop him. Address him. Stop him. Let him know that you have right to either forbid or allow. You have the right to close the door, open the door. Say, I shut the gates on you. You have no rights here. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. If you don't resist him, you know, now, some people, why do some believers flee from the devil rather than the devil fleeing from them? Because they don't resist the devil. If you don't resist him, if Eve had resisted him, she would have won. But she tried to argue with him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Because Jesus Christ already defeated him. And he said he's waiting for his enemies to made his vision. Now, who is going to make his enemies his vision? We are going to do that. We are his feet. Belong to the body. And so, when the enemy becomes his footstool, the enemy is under our feet. He's under our feet. That is why one of the strongholds of the believer is to preach the gospel. I'll talk about the stronghold of God. One of the strongholds is to preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, the devil, because the gospel is it has got to do with your feet, and you put your shoes on, the shoes for the preparation of the gospel. When you put that shoes on, you can crash. I had a dream in 2012, and I saw a scorpion, and I realized that 2011, I realized that this scorpion was there. I realized that my boots were somewhere, and I was in the dream. I said, if I was wearing this boot, I would have cracked this cup. The Lord began to deal with me about the feet. When I woke up, then he began to flood my mind with scriptures concerning the feet. that the feet is what crushes the devil and is always linked to the gospel. He said, how beautiful the feet of him who brings news. He said, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan's shot under your feet. Your feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's always related to peace. The God of peace crushes Satan, not the God of hosts or the God of the armies, the God of peace. When you preach the gospel of peace, you are in the stronghold of God. Now, so we are his feet, and we must make his enemies his footstool. So he is waiting for us to put the devil to where he belongs. Now, who controls evil? Who controls evil? Who created evil? God. God created evil. But God didn't create evil for evil's sake. God, come to Isaiah 45, verse 7. And I want to explain something. You see, when you create right, you have automatically created wrong. Do you know that? Do you know that? When you create obedience, you have automatically created disobedience. Because if somebody chooses not to obey, disobedience comes. So when God created good, automatically evil too was created. But it was Satan who activated evil by choosing to live independent of God. Verse 7. This is God. Okay, from verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun to his setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God says, I create evil. He said, I make peace and I create evil. He create, and God, who created darkness? God. He created everything. But you see, what I'm saying is that if God creates the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you decide to activate evil, Satan activated evil. But I want you to know that God has power over evil because he created it. Come to Isaiah 54, verse 16. From today, never be afraid of evil. Never be afraid that Satan can afflict you with evil. So that you will be free in your mind as a child of God. 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith. Who blows the coals in the fire? Who brings forth an instrument for his work? And I have created the destroyer to destroy. Who is the destroyer? Tell me, who is the destroyer? Who is the destroyer? Satan. God said, I've created the destroyer to destroy. And he compares it to the blacksmith. He said, I've created the blacksmith to come out with weapons. So any weapon the blacksmith comes out with is below me because I created the blacksmith. And I have created the destroyer to destroy. Continue. Verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue we rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. What he's saying is that I created the blacksmith. So any weapon he forms is under my authority. So no matter the weapon he designs, because I created him, it shall not prosper against you. So I created the destroyer to destroy. So if you are with me, he cannot destroy you. So God created the devil to destroy. So God. If God, for instance, when God wants to destroy somebody, God may allow the devil to come and destroy them. Because I've created a destroyer for this purpose. But if you are with me, the destroyer has no power over you because I created him. All his weapons that he can come out with, I created him. So no weapon that he forces against you will stand. The devil doesn't have a right to use evil against the believer. I said, he doesn't have the right to use evil against the believer. It is illegal for the devil to afflict the believer with evil, calamity. It is illegal. Anytime evil comes, we have given him the right. Or we have not taken the key to lock it. Because the key is with us. Now, I'll talk about how the devil gets you to give you authority. But come to 2 Thessalonians 3:3. This scripture, I've always quoted this scripture almost every day over my family, over my children. Almost every day. I quote it almost every day. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Almost every day. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from all evil. He said, God is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from all evil. He said, no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. As a believer, you have a right to prevent contagious disease from coming into your dwelling. He says, no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. You have a right as a believer to say that, look, Apollo has come, but Apollo will not come near my dwelling. You can take the key and lock it and say, look, anybody here can get Apollo, I will not get it. And when you make the declaration, you will see that it happens. Because we have power over evil. We can stop evil. We can permit evil. We can stop evil. If the church becomes one and we become one voice, we can stop evil from coming to this nation. When Ebola was coming to Ghana, the church prayed. Ebola jumped over Ghana and went to Nigeria. Because power belongs to the church. We can, listen, we can decide who is in power, who is not in power. Yes. We have so much power, but we don't use it. And we allow the devil to afflict us with evil. He has no power against the believer unless the believer gives him power. It is illegal. Paul, that other time, was going to be flogged. When they took the whip, he said, excuse me, is it legal to flog a Roman citizen or condemn? And the people stood, they withdrew, and they were afraid because they so that Paul was a citizen. And so, if Paul had not declared citizenship, imagine if Paul had kept quiet and said, let me just suffer. They would have flogged him, even though he didn't deserve to be flogged. The devil knows you are a child of God. He knows you are a citizen of heaven. But sometimes he can intentionally behave as if he has forgotten. You must remind him. Say, look, Satan, I am a child of God. This thing cannot be applied to me. I'm exempted from this thing because I'm a child of God. You can't have your way with me. This thing is not my portion. If he forgets, remind him. If you remind him, he cannot pretend he has forgotten because it is written down. What is written is written. Evil has no power over the believer. Woe has no power over the believer. Woe. Woe unto you. Woe. It has no power over the believer. The only power is the believer gives. So, how does he get you, the believer, to give him weapons? Number one, fear. Fear is what the devil uses to make you, the believer, either shoot yourself or giving weapons to fear. The only thing about the lion that is compared to the devil is how he roars. He said he goes about roaring like a lion. Roaring is not the only thing the lion does. But that's the only thing that is compared to the devil. Why does a lion roar? To instill fear in its prey. When he roars, you are gripped with fear. The moment you are gripped with fear, you begin to give him weapons to shoot you. That is why, as a believer, you must fight fear as you fight the devil. We must fight fear. Anything that will make you afraid, that will bring fear, you must stop it. Because, you see, fear comes by hearing and hearing, just as faith comes by hearing and hearing. So sometimes you must stop your ears from hearing some news. You must stop your eyes from seeing some news. You must stop your mind from thinking, dwelling on some news. Because the moment you start dwelling on what happened to somebody, and this person was a man of God, this person was a righteous person, and this person was and this happened to the person. Hey, so what are we going to do? That moment is when you get the devil a post. Fear comes by hearing. The same way faith comes, the same way fear comes. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Fear comes by hearing the word of the devil. Look at what the king of Assyria told the Israelites. The way he spoke, he said, look, don't put your trust in King Ezekiel, because he can't save you. Look, which of the kings of the world, of this earth, has been able to save his people from the hand of the king of Assyria? He said, look, our king is, and the guy was speaking great words. The Bible said the Antichrist, the beast, will speak great swelling words. Words that will instill fear into your life. Do not anticipate evil. Do not anticipate evil. When you anticipate evil, you are giving the devil weapons to shoot you. Maybe this will happen. Maybe this will happen. Maybe this will happen. Maybe this can happen to my child. Maybe this can happen to my this. This can happen to this. No. Don't anticipate evil. Believe that evil has no power over you. That is why sometimes when we have dreams, we must be careful. There are some dreams that come from the devil. There are some dreams that come from God. But those that come from God, they don't instill fear. But the ones that come from the devil, they instill fear in you. When you get up, you are afraid. You have a dream and you are dead. It's from the devil, from God. Somebody can have a dream and you are dead. God may reveal to the person about the schemes of the devil. But you have a dream and you yourself, you are dead. It's from the devil. The devil has just brought you a DHL EMS package. When they bring the package, they say, are you Solomon? Okay, this is your package. Can you please sign so that we know it has delivered? When you sign, it is delivered. When you refuse to sign, it is back to sender. They take it back to where they brought it from. So, when you dream and the dream is negative, don't put your signature to the dream by becoming afraid and by waiting to die. You must deal with it and reject it. I remember 2 weeks to my wedding, I had 2 dreams. And in both dreams, I was hugging dead relatives. I was hugging people who were dead. I had it within 2 weeks to my wedding. 2 dreams. If you're a dream, you're hugging a dead relative, what does it mean? It means you are going to die. The devil is saying that, I want you to die. Do you agree? Can I get a witness? I got up and I said, I rebel against the counsel of hell. I said, I rebel against your counsel. I remember about 3 days to my wedding, I had a dream. My wedding shoe, somebody had taken my wedding shoe.
3 days to the wedding. Somebody had taken my wedding shoe. The shoe that I had bought for the wedding. Somebody had taken it away. I said, I rebel against your counsel. I didn't bother to tell people or say, oh, organize remedy for me. No. I said, I rebel against your counsel. Because I know that it is just a zero pretending to be a hero. The devil doesn't deserve even 1 minute of prayer time. I'm telling you, he doesn't deserve even 1 minute of a prayer time. Just deal with him and move on. Your prayer time is dominated by praise and worship and intercession and supplication, not warfare. There are some believers, if they are praying for 1 hour, 45 minutes is warfare. I know one guy who used to be in Ghana here. He's now in the States. He will get up every midnight. He has a list. So and so, which you tell me yes, demo. So and so, which you tell me yes, demo. And all his prayers are, which you tell me yes, demo. You are wasting your time. You are using a bulldozer to kill an ant. The devil doesn't deserve your attention. When you give him your attention, that is when he grows in your life. Ignore him, deal with him, and forget about him. Know that he has no power over your life. So, in my family, you know, they are very powerful, and the witches in my family, they are very strong, and they did this, they did that, they did that. You are not this or that. You are a child of God. Don't compare the fact that the devil messed somebody's life up, or the fact that he did this, it doesn't mean he can do the same thing. If you want it, do it, he can do it. So, we don't give the devil a chance and treat him as if he was very, very important. We must treat him as the New Testament writers treated him. They didn't spend time on the devil at all. It's always about warfare. Warfare. Listen, there are three types of believers. There are defeated believers who don't know what Jesus Christ did, and they are like, hey, this world, we have to be careful. This Satan is too strong. And, you know, even when you talk about Satan, like, hey, you have to be careful, because this guy, when you start talking about them, you know, they start coming against you and all that. Then we have militant believers who are always chasing the devil. They are always chasing him. They are always in a fight, always doing spiritual warfare. Militant believers. They don't have rest. You can defeat the devil. You can fight him and all your life, and you don't have even rest to even intercede. You don't have even time to even fellowship with God. I know a church. Their praises, half of their praise song, you don't know whether they are singing to God or to the devil. The thing is praises. But you see, Satan, I say Satan. I mean, are you praising God or you are praising Satan? We magnify Satan. And you see the praise that Satan. I mean, why can't you sing a song that exalts Jesus? Because of the mentality, you know, it's like, and all the people who are singing, they are singing out of fear. Out of fear. You let a lizard come there, right? You see where they rat. They are singing out of fear. Satan, you know, Sabi said, and they are singing out of fear. Obu Sam was Masembe. Obu Sam. And I know a church, after they sang this song, then the worship that can, Obu Sam also Ampara, Masembe. Is it worship or you are worshiping the devil? We give him too much attention. And that is why he's so happy among believers. You see, when you are feasting with your father, forget about the devil. He said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. When you are feasting with your father, forget about the devil. If you are seated on the table of your father, who is the devil? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. He said, I will fear no evil. Don't fear any evil. The devil will come to you with fear. You will see things happening around you, but don't fear. Don't fear. Now, the last one. Doubt. Doubt. The devil will use doubt. So that you, it is doubt that will make you give the devil weapons and doubt. Satan will always attack the word of God in your life. When the devil comes to you, the first thing he will attack is what you know. He will seek to discredit what you know. Because he knows that it is what you know that will act against you and against him. Because you see, it is not the devil who is a problem to God. As far as his children are concerned, it's lack of knowledge. He said, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. It's not a devil. So the devil will attack what you know. He will discredit God's word. That's why when he went to Eve, the first thing he attacked was, has God said? What God said, what do you think about what God said? Is it true? What God said, is it true? It's not true. Look at this, that. It's not true. Whatever. It's not true. If what God said was true, why are you not seeing the signs? If God said, this year, 2016, I'm going to take you to America, why are you not seeing, in March, are you not seeing some signs? Some signs that America is coming 2016. That's the devil. Then you too, forgetting that God can use 24 hours to change a man's destiny. You believe what the devil is saying? It's true. I'm not seeing any signs of America in 2016. God said 2016. Okay, even if it's December, at least by March, I should see passport. By March, I should see a sign. There should be some sign. I'm not seeing my dreams. I don't see anything. So what? God can use 24 hours to change a man's destiny like he did for Joseph. 24 hours. From prison to palace, 24 hours. 24 hours. Check the Bible. The same day, 24 hours. When God said, Elijah said, tomorrow by this time, there'll be plenty of food. The king secretary said, oh, ho, if even God opens the windows of heaven, can it be possible? Within 24 hours, there was abundance of food. They didn't know what to do with the food. Look at how God fulfilled the word. God is God. He has power over time. Don't allow the devil to attack the word that you have. God has given you a word. Keep on believing it. Hold on to it. He said, the word that God speaks to you is that when you sleep, it will keep you. When you wake up, it will talk to you. Let the word talk to you. When you sleep, the word keep you. Keep on believing it. Always say to yourself, I believe it. I do that always. I do that almost every day. Father, I believe your word. You are faithful. Your word will never fail. I believe what you have said. I don't care what is happening. I know it will come to pass. When you do that, the devil will back off. You know this guy, Najuna said already, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Satan will attack your word. Your prophetic word, he will attack it. He will attack it. So you will abandon your prophetic word because you are not seeing any signs. That is the devil. And when you do that, you are giving him a head. Not just about anything, but you can give him a head. Because you see, you have authority. He doesn't have authority. It's like a policeman who decides to join a gang of armed robbers. Or a policeman who decides to be an armed robber. Armed robbers don't have authority. They have power. They have guns. But policemen have authority. When a policeman decides to be an armed robber, he's more dangerous than an armed robber. When he comes to your house to knock at 12 midnight, you know he's a policeman. He's an attack of a policeman. But he has evil intentions. He's now an armed robber in a policeman That's how the devil gets you, the believer, to defeat yourself. Do you know who accused the believer before God? The believers accuse their fellow believers before the throne. The enemy cannot get to the throne, so he uses you to accuse your fellow believer because you are always before the throne. Whether you are in your closet or you are in the market, you are before the throne. So whatever you say to accuse your fellow believer, you are accusing God. The enemy can get you to cut short your fellow believer's destiny or your destiny by giving up and by saying it. Sometimes he will get you to walk in pride. Satan will never come against you with a frontal attack. No, he will always trick you. Trick you to get to a place where you yourself will begin to fight yourself. A place where you yourself, you don't believe what God, you don't believe. He knows that when you become proud, for instance, it is God himself who fights you, not Satan. He said, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So he will fight against you in the sense that he will serve pride to you. When he serves pride to you and you receive it, then he stays back. That's what he did to Israel. Like, he told Balak, he said, you know, these people, they are protected by their God. But you let the women go and seduce them. And let them lead them to eat things sacrificed to idols and worship your idols. And when Balak took that advice, Balaam gave him that advice. Because Balaam tried to curse them. They were not curseable. So when he gave Balak the advice and he did it, God himself killed 23,000 people. And Balak was happy. I've won the fight, the war without fighting. But why? I've gotten them to fight against themselves. That is why Satan sometimes comes into a church, comes into a body of believers, and then he tries to show disunity. And then he gets you to fight one another. Then he stands somewhere. He knows you can never go anywhere for as long as there's disunity. So he doesn't bother. He can't touch you, but you will touch yourself. You will kill yourself. So he withdraws and he looks at you. Then he's smiling. Then you are fighting. You are fighting. You are fighting. Then you wonder and you say, oh God, when is the glory coming? When are you coming? We are waiting for you. And he's laughing at you. I don't know what you're talking about. Because he knows for as long as there's disunity, the presence can never dwell there. That is why we don't look for the devil in power. We look for the devil in truth. We don't fight him always in power. We fight him with the truth. When it comes to power, the power in us will defeat him. So it's not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. The truth will make you free. The truth is it's not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. When you release power, it's based on truth. Because I know that this body doesn't belong to you, so get out. Hallelujah. Let's go on our feet. I want us to pray. The devil is a schemer. And he is a zero pretending to be a hero. He has no power over the believer. No power to use evil against the believer. We must learn to resist him. Learn to resist every word that he releases. Release a counter word. Don't allow any thought that he brings to go like that. Judge the thought with the word of God and resist it if it's from the devil. When he shows up, show him where he belongs. Let him know you know what belongs to you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Just open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Kabaya lava sutaha. Libra katoyandeha. Lo sibrahando kosihe. Mando koloko sikahata. Probahata yan likrokosu. Mandibrikito lokose. Ripa katarianda. Simrahando kosi. Miko roboko sikaha. Ripo koroko toriana. Mandia takalahano. Lo kibrahatosi. Makali brotoso. Minko lokotosi. Ikalahalo sikaha. Lo pratiyan kalahose. Lo brahantaya kata. Lu brahatiya kasukaha.
Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding. Librokoto lokoto. Mandiri. Mandururu shokoha. Ikrolokoshikaha. Makalakade protoso. Mingolokodokotia. Lipolokoshikaha. Ikolohande sikate. Lipoloko ziprohosaha. Rokatiyalaha. Ikroko shiprohata. Mandiri. Nimbrokoto rohosikate. Ikrokoto rohosa. Rapalia terihati. Ikologos brikate yakaraham. Maria Dorobo Shuria Dikata, Malia Dugosi Kahayana Hogosa, Ikologo Dosi Grahadia, Maluya Kiriato Sukahata, Kritoloshikahe, Ikroko Sahandaha, Mandurubo Sikrehete, Ogialaha Sikahe, Mundiri Katayalaha, Ikologo Sikrehete. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tumi Yinara. Every terrorist infiltration. We are praying that our borders will be secured. Our borders will be secured. That every plan of the wicked one against this nation, we are coming against it. And we are establishing God's will over this nation. That as a church, we are superimposing the will of God over every agenda, overthrowing every wicked agenda of the enemy against this. Let us begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, we agree as one. We come against every agenda of the enemy. We overthrow it in the name of Jesus. The counsel of God for Ghana will stand. The agenda of the enemy for this nation will come to naught. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let God arise. Let the enemy be scattered. Let their weapons be dashed into pieces. We arrest every speaking, every saying of the enemy, every negative words released against this nation. Every terrorist activity mapped up against this nation. We frustrate it now. In the name of Jesus, we frustrate it in Jesus' name. We deny the devil permission. Permission to touch God's heritage. In the name of Jesus, we establish God's will in our land. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for your word. We thank you for letting us know the real status of the enemy. That he's only a zero, pretending to be a hero. We pray, oh God, that we'll be established in this truth. That we'll be able to apply your word. And that we'll know the truth. And that the truth will make us free. We commit everybody into your hand. Those who couldn't come, we pray that, Father, you extend the same hand of grace to them. In the name of Jesus. We come against every weapon of the enemy. Every agenda of the wicked one over anybody's life is overthrown. In the name of Jesus, let your perfect will for our life be established. In Jesus' name, we call it done. Amen. Hallelujah.